Well, before we begin, let's open a word of prayer. Lord, I do thank you again for this opportunity to have to speak. Lord, I ask you that you would help me to be a vessel fit for your purpose this evening. Lord, I pray that you would empty me of my own thoughts, my own intellect, my own abilities. Lord, speak through me, speak to us. Lord, I pray that you prepare hearts and minds to receive your word. And Lord, that everything that is said and done truly would bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, I pray that if there's something in my notes here that you'd have me not say, that you'd just remove that from my mind. Lord, that if there be something that I should be added, Lord, that you'll speak to my heart. And Lord, help me to speak boldness and with liberty this evening. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. I told your wife that I was going to purposely drive around for a half hour, 45 minutes. And make a grand entry like Dr. Gall did last week, but I thought, given your heart, that perhaps maybe that's not a good idea. But I do thank the pastor for the opportunity to speak. I don't take it for granted the opportunity that he gives up his pulpit to speak this evening. You know, when the pastor announced this year's theme, I immediately had an idea of what I thought I wanted to speak about. My idea was going to be, since we have the circus theme, of juggling. I've always been fascinated with jugglers. And I was actually going to have Connor Gall come down because he is a really good juggler. And I had this all planned. But then Brother Dave preached. And he put up on the slide in his PowerPoint, if you recall, a picture that the Holy Spirit just kept on bringing back to my mind. And it was the picture that he had was this. I hope you can see this. I asked him if he can get this for me. It's probably best this way. Turn it this way. If you can see this back there, this is one of the pictures he had on his PowerPoint of a trapeze act, where you'd see one individual who's considered the catcher with his legs on the bar, and then the other one's the flyer. And I thought, what a wonderful picture this is of what the life under the big top is. It's about a life of faith. You know, truly the guy who's the flyer here has to have faith and trust in the catcher to receive him. And I thought, that's just a wonderful picture. And I kept on coming back to that. And then Brother Clark preached, and his message was on life under the big top, a life of faith. And so I thought, wow, okay, that's it. Then I'm back to what I'm going to speak about. I'm going to do the juggling, talking about balancing the Christian life. And I thought, okay, I'm getting back to that. But the Holy Spirit kept on bringing me back to this picture, and I just couldn't get rest about it. Because I just was, every time I was thinking about what to speak upon, this picture would come in my mind. That so many times that, yes, it's the life of faith, but what happens is that many times people never let go of the bar. They never get to experience the life of faith that Brother Clark preached about. That life of faith that he talked about in the life of Sarah and Abraham. That life that's truly living by faith and faith alone. And so, you know, I just was impressed upon me to bring a message I just simply called let go and let God. And it's basically the same idea Brother Clark brought about the life of faith, but it basically is, in this situation, if I can make the analogy, the person called the catcher, it would be Jesus Christ. And the flyer would be us as Christians. And as Brother Clark says, there is a faith that takes that to salvation. And many of us, as Christians, have made that step of faith and have maybe joined the acrobatic team, have maybe walked up to the ladder of the tightrope, and we've got on a hold of that bar, but we've never let go. And that's what I just was impressed upon by the Holy Spirit to bring this message about the Lord Jesus as the catcher in our life, waiting, just as in this picture is, waiting to receive us, waiting to grab hold of us by faith. But the problem is we've got to learn to let go. When I say let go, I mean to let go of control. It means trusting the catcher more than trusting yourself. It means getting to the place of living by faith as Brother Clark preached about. The question is, what are the things that you're holding on to? And if you're in my Sunday school class, this is usually when I open up for some ideas. But because the Plinko game took so long, I'm going to try to shorten it here. And just give you some things that the Holy Spirit rests upon my heart. As you can see here, we have a trapeze bar and rope here. And I was going to have my wife demonstrate this, and I was going to be the one out here to catch her. But I'm not sure if she has enough faith in me. And then I know I don't have enough faith in these ropes to hold me. So that idea went out. But, you know, I just keep on coming back to that picture in the mind of what is it on this bar that we're holding on to? What is preventing us from living that life of faith? One of the first things that came to my mind is perhaps the thing of possessions. You know, a lot of times people have their possessions, but really their possessions have them. They have control over it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verses 18 through 23, we have the story of the rich young ruler. And let me just quickly read through these verses, but don't miss this very important point here. It says here in Luke 18, verses 18 through 23, "And a certain ruler asked him talking to Jesus Christ, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he said, 'All these have I kept from my youth up.' Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to them, 'Yet lacketh thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich." Here we see Jesus Christ showing to him there was one thing that was holding him back, and that was his possessions. Well, I understand that this is an illustration and a story talking specifically about salvation. I think the application can be made to the life of faith as well. While it certainly is not a requirement of salvation that we have to give up our possessions, it is certainly a requirement for living by faith. It is not money or things that is the problem. It is the root of the evil is the love of money. I remember when I did the series on finances from a biblical perspective, I put out a questionnaire because a lot of times people have misconceived ideas and thoughts about what the Bible says about finances. And one of those questions I put out was, money is the root of all evil, true or false? And I think there's about 20-30% of the people that says, oh, that's true. Money is the root of all evil. But that's not what God's Word says. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, it is the love of money. And that is what happens in a lot of times in people's life, that the possessions prevent them from living the life of faith. For some people, it's all about money and things. They are putting their trust in their bank accounts. They're putting their trust in the 401k plan. They're putting their trust maybe in their own ability to make money. It's all about them and what they have. And so many times, even when I go out on visitation, and I can think of many times, people that perhaps even came to this church, that I've gone out and spoke to them, hey, haven't seen you in church. Are you going to church anywhere? No. And I'll ask them about salvation. They'll tell me, oh, yes, I was saved in Mr. Anthony's class or Mr. Schwartz's class or somebody's class. But I said, well, are you going to church anywhere? No, you know, I got to work 6 days, you know, just to pay my bills. And Sunday's really my only free day. And I just don't have time for church. See, their possession has got them. They haven't let go of that bar and trusted Jesus Christ to live the life of faith that we are called to live. For some, it's not being simply trusting God with their finances because they say, I can't afford the tithe. How many times, Pastor, have you heard that expression or that phrase, that they can't afford the tithe? As Pastor and I have indicated, you can't afford not to tithe. You know, it's really putting your trust in God and making sure that He is first. It's amazing how many times that I've helped people with their finances and said, hey, you've got to do what God's Word says. You've got to honor Him with your finances. And it's really a matter of trust. Of, you know, sometimes they sit down and say, well, the numbers just don't work out. And I say, you may be right. But you know what? It's a step of faith. You've got to let go of that bar and just let it go and let Jesus receive you and hold you and control your finances. Others work so that they don't miss the time that they can't miss from work because of the debt that they've got themselves into. Again, trying to hold on to things that possess them. Other people have all these recreational things, boats and ATVs and motorcycles. And they said, this is Sunday's the only time I have to use them. And as a result of that, we see that they're putting their trust. Where is your trust when it comes to possessions? You know, one of the other questions that I put on that test when we had that finances from a biblical perspective, I asked which is true or false. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be. And I said, true or false. There was probably 50% of the people that got that one wrong and said true. That's not what the Scripture says. A lot of times we think, hey, my heart's in the church. But what would your checkbook say? If your heart is here and amongst the work of the Lord, then what does your treasure say? Because the true verse says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's where we see that we need to let God control. Take that step of faith. Let go of your possessions. Let go of the trust that you're putting in your money and your possessions and let God take control. Proverbs 16:8 says, better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right. You know, another thing as I was thinking about, some things that people just can't let go of. Your past. Look at Philippians 3, verse 13. This is Paul talking to the church at Philippi. Just want to read the one verse here in Philippians 3, verse 13. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing. Hey, that's what we heard in the last passage. That one thing that rich young ruler, what he was missing out on was the fact that his possessions he couldn't let go of. And here he's talking about again, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before you. You know, we are to forget those things which are behind and press forward. You know, for some of us, like myself, it's easy to forget those things that are in the past because I have a terrible memory. Okay, we don't need to have from the peanut gallery there. Some have too good of a memory. She can tell you, you know, what I wore 3 weeks ago to church. I can't even remember what I wore yesterday. And she goes, you can't be an outfit repeater. You can't wear that suit and tie again. And, you know, some people have a real good memory, and this is a difficult thing. Maybe it's specifically, and I have three subcategories talking about your past. Maybe it's your past sins. You know, many times I hear people say, you just don't know what I've done. You don't know what sins I've committed. How can God forgive me? How can I ever be a Christian that God will ever use? Can I simply say that God has forgiven and forgotten? He says that He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He has buried them in the deepest seas. You know, we don't need to bring them up again. Hey, that's the devil that's doing that. He's bringing those things up to your memory, up to the memory screen of your mind. Hey, we need to just understand that God has forgiven us. Maybe you think of, well, hey, you don't know the heinous crime that I've committed, the heinous sins. Hey, can I remind you of Saul? You know, we're going through the books of Acts right now. And one of the things in the book of Acts it talks about is Saul's conversion. And before he was converted, you know, one of the first times he appears in Acts chapter 7, he was there at the martyr of Stephen. And it says that there was one Saul consenting unto his death. And then the very next chapter talking about how he got letters from the priest and literally putting hundreds of people, Christians, into prison. But yet God used him. God can use any of us regardless of our past sins. Can I also tell you, he can use us regardless of our past failures. You know, a lot of times maybe you've made a decision for God in the past and you have failed him. Maybe you made a commitment to be more faithful in your Bible reading and prayer time. Maybe to be a better witness. And maybe you've kind of fallen by the wayside. And the devil sits on your shoulder kind of telling you, don't even try. You'll fail again. You'll fail. Don't even try that. Hey, can I tell you, God's extending his hands to us and say, hey, I can help. Hey, you don't have to look into the past. You look and look forward. Hey, if this guy that's, again, on this picture up here is considered the flyer, if he's looking back instead of looking where he's going, he's going to be in big trouble. You know, he better have a safety net or else he's going to be a splat on the floor. And you know, that's very simple terms, but you know what? That's basically what happens in our spiritual life, is that we keep on looking past. We looked in our past. We can't get past the sins that we've had. We can't get past the failures that we have. Instead of looking forward and pressing. That word pressing means that you're leaning forward and just thinking of the things that are ahead, the anticipation of what tomorrow may bring. Can I also say maybe it's the past experiences? You know, some people just live in the past. You know, there's someone that I've visited on a visitation. A man I could take you to the street right here in Derry, that something happened to him within our church. We're talking probably 25, maybe 30 years ago. But if you go to his house and ask him about those things, he can quote that thing, that whole incident, what happened to him, just like it happened yesterday. He just has relived that thing over and over. He's not in church. He doesn't even go to church anywhere. And he was one time very faithful in the bus ministry here. The problem is he's living in the past. He has never let go of that. And from what I hear from the story he told me, he probably was wronged by somebody in the church. But that doesn't change the circumstance that he is letting the past control him. Perhaps you've been wronged by somebody. Or maybe you even believe God has somehow wronged you because you don't understand the situation. Can I encourage you to let go of that bar of your past? There are so many people living in the past and they're unable to help in the future or even in today because they're still dwelling in the past. God can help you. Can I tell you that there's another thing that we can look at? And that is, the third thing is, our pride. I'm tickled this thing's working out. Yeah, I haven't tested this thing, so I just put together today so far. If it falls, you might have to hold that thing. So
I will hang from the bar myself and hold it.
Maybe we'll get another volunteer here. If you look at Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12 is the again the parable here this time of the rich fool he's referred to. In this passage of Luke 12 verses 16 through 20, And I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but obviously this is a story where there is a man who was blessed of God, had plenty full things. And he thought within himself, it says, verse 17, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Just within these three verses, the word I is used six times. You know, I put in my notes here, he has an eye problem that the optometrist can't fix. You know, it's just about, not these eyes, but about I, myself. Here he looks at these things and that God had blessed him with, and he says, I will do this, and I will pull him down, and I will... All these things was about himself. He had an eye problem. Many people, including Christians, think that they don't need God. You know, I put in my notes here that sometimes we call these, you know, practicing atheists. Hey, they say they're Christians, but you know what? Their life exhibits as though there was no God. You know, they think that, hey, they don't talk to God. They don't pray to Him. They don't read His Bible. They don't let God talk to them. They simply act as though there is no God. They act a lifestyle which there is no accountability that they have toward God. Because it's all about them and their comfort and what they want to do. They're holding on to that bar and not trusting God. You know, that many times pride can prevent you from getting the help that you need. Maybe from the pastor, maybe from other Christians, that maybe you need the help, but you know, you're too prideful to ask the pastor for help. Or maybe ask another Christian brother or sister to give you a helping hand. Maybe you're struggling in an area in which the pastor can help you, but yet you're too prideful because you're holding on to that bar. Well, what will he think? Maybe you're too prideful to come up during time of invitation because you're concerned about what this person would think or that person would think. And as a result of that, we never make the decisions that the Holy Spirit is working upon our hearts while in the seat. Maybe it's also that we will not share with one another our burdens and needs. Hey, that's why we have the men's prayer time here at 6 o'clock on Sunday, is so that as a men we can get together and share our burdens and needs one with another, so that we can lift each other up in prayer. But maybe you're just too prideful to think that, hey, I don't want people knowing about my business. I don't want people knowing that I'm having a problem. Hey, can I encourage you to let go of that bar of pride? And then the last one I have here are your problems. You know, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 33, you can turn over there. This will be the last passage we turn to this evening. You know, I purposely made this one kind of all-inclusive. You know, this one of problems, I oftentimes in my Sunday school class, I refer to it as the five D's. You know, these problems can be one of maybe of death, where you've experienced recent death of a loved one. Maybe it's a disease that you're experiencing or a loved one that is going through. Maybe it's a situation of a divorce that you're going through, or a debt that you've been in. Or maybe you're going through a period of depression in your life that you are experiencing. These all encompass here in the word problems. Here in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, you can think of this many times that we can handle the problem ourselves. You know, many times I must admit that I fall into that category. I'm thinking, hey, I got this one, Lord. I can handle this one. You know, and I'll work it out, and I know what to do, and I have the answer. But many times I realize that I just need to trust God. You know, I just need to have faith in Him. You know, instead of me being in control. You know, one of the times, a lot of times if there's a situation in my home that maybe, I think I need to be the fixer. I'm one of these guys, I fix them. Their problems, I'm a fixer. And I just, that's the way I approach things. But, you know, sometimes, maybe if my wife is going through a difficult time, maybe she just needs for me to listen. Maybe she doesn't need me to fix the problem. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to go to the Lord and take the problems to Him. You know, we see here in this passage that He says, come. You know, it's kind of like this picture once again of the catcher over there. His hands are extended. He's saying, come. He's encouraging you to let go of that bar, whatever there be, your possessions, your past, your pride, your problems. He's saying, come. I'm here. I'm ready to catch you. But we won't let go. We won't let go of our problems. He hands are fully extended. He encourages us to come unto Him. God wants to give you the peace and comfort as only He can give in those times of situations and problems. The thing that we have to understand is He's asking one thing of us, and that's we take His yoke upon Him. Now, many people say, well, what is that yoke? I don't understand it. How am I supposed to give Him my burdens and then take His yoke? Well, His yoke is very simple. It's one of meekness and humility. It's simply trusting Him. That maybe you don't have all the answers when you have the problems. Maybe you can't figure it out. Maybe you don't know what the future holds. So you just, in meekness and humility, say, Lord, it's yours. I can't handle that situation. I don't know what the future may hold. I don't know why you brought this situation to my life. But Lord, I'm going to trust you because I know you love me. I know you care for me. Hey, that's that yoke that we're to take upon us. It's one of meekness and humility. You don't have to understand it. Maybe you don't understand why that problem's in your life. I put in my notes here, great, exclamation point. That means you're just going to trust God more. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to rationalize. You don't have to necessarily see the future. I know a lot of times when I'm asking God, what is your will for my life and looking for those guidance. You know, I'm one of these guys, I want to know the 5-year, I want to know the 10-year plan. I want to know, Lord, what's the 20-year plan that you got ahead? You know, I want to look out. But He says, hey, the Word of God is a what unto our feet? A light. I want the strobe light. I want the stadium lights that are up here. But He says, no. My light, my Word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. That means that we can just see that next step. That next step in front of us. Hey, we don't have to understand what the future holds. We just have to understand who holds the future. Hey, we have to understand and put trust in Him. God does it. You've got to submit your will to Him and take upon Him the meekness and humility that is His yoke. In conclusion, I could have brought up many other things. You know, I could have gone down the whole list. I had actually thought about, we could have added to this list sometimes people's plans. People hold on to their own personal plans. I've heard people, especially young people, they've got their whole life set out. You know, they're going to, for the ladies, they got it planned out that they're going to marry some hunk. You know, he's got to be good looking. He's got to be about 5'2", 5'11", dark hair. Okay, not so much dark hair. He has hair. Well, skip that. He's got to be about 5'11", maybe some Italian descent, and you got all these criteria. You know, then they say, okay, not only do I have to marry this hunk, but then, I want to have 2.5 children. That's the average in America. I'm not sure what a half a child is, a 0.5 child is. We got Noah, he counts for like 3 kids, he's that much work. We all have it planned out. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to have 2.5 children. I'm going to have this great job. I'm going to live in this area. But we have totally left out God out of our plans. We have our plans and we won't let God because we think God's going to maybe mess up our plans. You know, I could have put up another P that maybe times it's people. A lot of times we're dependent upon other people that we rely upon them. And we rely upon them more than we do God. Maybe you rely upon the pastor and are just looking at him, which he is our leader and he's our example. But hey, our faith and our trust should be in the Lord. Maybe it's our pleasures. You know, many times, you know, we're trying to get you to that point of just letting go so that you can exhibit the life of faith. But many times, we're like this man here in this picture, that he simply has not let go. And, you know, that when my secretary filed this, I thought that's the exact picture that I want. Because of the sad face that he has, the countenance that is on his face, because of the fact that he has not let go. Hey, that's where we are. You know, it simply comes down to this. It's a choice. You say, I would like to get let go. I would like to, but I just can't. You can't. It's a matter of a choice. A choice that you say, well, maybe I'll consider that next week or next month. Hey, you're making a choice right now. That choice is up to you. It's simply twofold. It comes down to this. It's a choice to let go and give God to the control. Go to Him in prayer and ask Him to help you. Maybe to help you to release your possessions, not be so consumed by it. To release that past that you're dwelling on and that is hurting your present life. Maybe it's the pride that you're just having difficulty, just not getting the help that you need because you're so prideful. Or maybe the problems in life, that's all you see. You know, in a lot of times in the law and in the medical field, we see people that become so magnified based upon their symptoms. They become so fixated upon their symptoms that a lot of times the doctor says, hey, they don't have anything physically wrong, but because they've just become so fixated upon that disease or that problem that they just can't function. And that happens a lot of times in our spiritual life, that we become so fixated. We need to let go and give it to God in prayer on a daily matter. Hey, it's not a one-time thing. You're going to come up here and say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give you my pride. I'm going to give you my problems. And go back to your seat and think that's going to be the end of it. It's a daily thing of letting God have control in your life. And say, God, I'm letting go. I'm letting you have control. And the second most important part of that is to simply trust Him. You know, one of the things that we went through in the Sunday school class probably about 2 or 3 years ago in quieting the noisy soul, that we say a lot of times we have emotional problems because of our thoughts. Our thoughts control our emotions. And so when we see that we're having some emotional problems, maybe fear, anxiety, maybe depression or even fear, a lot of times it comes from our thoughts. And we see that a lot of times those thoughts come from one source. And what is that, Ryan? Unbelief. Simply thinking that God is not enough. Simply believing that, or not believing, that God loves us. You listen to the devil, well, God really doesn't care. If God really cared, then why would you have that problem? If God really cared, why would you have that past? You know, and we have that fear of unbelief in our lives because we simply do not trust Him. Hey, it's a step of faith that you've got to take out. And the question comes down to your choice. Will you be as this man and continue to hold on and let those things control you? Or will you be as in this picture to let go of these things? And maybe it's something I haven't even put up here on this ladder or on this rope here this evening that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about. Are you going to give those things to the Lord and trust Him? Doesn't mean you have to understand. Doesn't mean you have to comprehend why those things in your life. It means simply to take that step of trust and a step of faith. About last week, my wife and I, and I'll finish with this illustration, we were up at Seven Springs and we decided to do some zip lining. Has anyone ever done that before? Oh, yeah, that's fun. I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that. Pastor, you would enjoy that. I know how you love heights, you know? Yep. And it was a fun thing, and they have this, they call it the canopy tours. And it was actually 10 different lines that they took you on. And what they did is they start you out kind of on a small one, maybe 100 feet, and maybe you're only about 15, 20 feet off the ground. And as you went through each of those courses, the line got a little bit longer and a little bit higher. Till the very last one, it was a 1,500 drop. It went from one side of the mountain over to the other side of the mountain. You're going actually over the trees. I was trying to grab some leaves, but couldn't reach them there. But you're about 150 feet in the air. And let me tell you, the most difficult part, it wasn't getting up in the stand. as they take you up in the tree and you're in a stand there, and then you have to hook into this line and then go down the rope. The most difficult time came when you had to step off the platform. You know, you step off the platform and you just let go. It's like, okay, there's no turn back now. You know, it was a step of faith. Once you took your step off of that, you hold on to, they have kind of like a bar there, and you just hold on to that until you get to the other side. And then you have to, if you're going coming down too fast, for people that weigh a little bit too much, you might be coming in there with the momentum. You have to kind of put your hand on the rope to slow you down. For my wife, most of the time, she didn't have to slow down. You know, they're telling her, come on, come on. But, you know, the toughest thing was, is taking that step. Is to just thinking, okay, this is it. And just relying upon that rope and trust that the cables and things that they have you hold is going to hold you. Hey, that's what really this life of faith is stepping out, letting go of that bar and trusting Him. Not just a prayer you say, but actually trusting Him, believing that God cares enough, believing that He does love you. Not understanding maybe that situation that you're going through, but understanding that God is in control. The choice is you. The choice is yours tonight. Will you let go and let God have control? Pastor?